Hi, I'm Kate McGee.
And I'm Brooke Johnson.
In last week's episode of the Romanoff case, we provided you with our insight into the case and what happened. This week, we will be going more in-depth into our own theories, talk about DNA testing results and what they found when they discovered two bodies in Russia years later near where the royal family was buried, hopefully getting closure about what happened. We will also have a special interview with Dr. Griffin.
When we interviewed Dr. Griffin, a humanities teacher at Mount Vernon Presbyterian School, he told us he had always had a personal interest in the Russian Revolution, and he wanted to bring it into our school's curriculum. So when he was teaching a humanities 10 class last year, he decided to do a unit on the Russian Revolution because it had always been a passing interest of his, and he wanted to insert it into his teaching so that the students could learn about the concepts of revolution, government, royalty, and all of that. Wednesday, there were two bodies found by Russian builder Sergei Plotnikov. He was in a history group, and they were out looking for the lost Romanovs. In an interview he had, he says, there was a crunching sound. This means that you've hit coal or bone. Sergei and a group member started to dig. First, they found a pelvis. Then they discovered a fragment of a skull, and he says it was clearly a child. He says, I also felt satisfied. I knew the Romanov children would finally be reunited with the rest of their family. Sergei says that, unfortunately, the children had suffered the same fate as the rest of their family, but they did not find any bullet holes in the bones. But they did see that the acid had been poured on the ground above them and that it had also been burned. Russian archaeologists said that they presumed the bodies were Alexei and Mariana, not Anastasia. So we are left with the question, are these really the bodies of the missing children?
When they did testing on the bodies to confirm that these were the missing children, at first, when they were testing, they were sure that it was the missing bodies. However, the testing they did on the bodies was not actually reliable, so we cannot be sure that these are the missing bodies. It is also very possible that these were the bodies, but it was also possible that they weren't. In our interview with Dr. Griffin, he says that when the tests were being done, they said that the bodies were not even of royal blood. We have heard different stories. Some sources say that they are 100% sure these are the Romanov children. Some say that they are related to the Romanov family, but can't be sure that it was the missing ones. And some say that they were just random people that have nothing to do with the Romanovs. A theory that we have is that when they did the DNA testing, they just said that it was the missing bodies to have closure, and they were done looking. Maybe they wanted the search to be done with. These tests were a little bit ago, so I'm not sure if they put the documents to prove that it was the bodies.
This was the first question that we asked Dr. Griffin in our interview. We asked him what he thought about these two new bodies that were found. Here's his response.
Yes, I'm familiar with the fact that the bodies were found and that DNA testing from, I believe, the 70s, I was reading online. It's much later, like not like right around that time period, but much later DNA testing proved that they were not of royal blood. Like the family, the bodies that they found weren't like Alexei and Anastasia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't think it was Anastasia and Alexei?
No, I don't think it was them. I think, you know, I looked over some of your questions, and I think thinking about your questions and how I would, like, respond to them, I think it just sounded like a good story to, like, for those people that were still invested in the monarchy and invested in the family of the Romanovs, it was a good story to say, no, maybe there were some survivors. And I think that's a very fancy and fantastical way to think about what happened. But I think they were executed with the family. And I think if you look at some of the reports that were written, the fact that it took the children longer to die, right? Because allegedly the parents were executed very swiftly, but because the children were all wearing clothes that were laced with diamonds and jewelry, it took them longer to unfortunately, like, be executed. So I think maybe that might have fueled the idea that, ooh, maybe, you know, they did escape out of the back room and, you know, who knows.
We also asked Dr. Griffin about if he thought that it was smart for Nicholas to give up his power. Here was his response.
Oh, no, I don't think that was smart at all. I think he was definitely hoodwinked in. Like, there was a lot of turmoil. And I guess the thing that he failed to consider and learn from the lessons of history is that if we look at the French Revolution, like, they had no problem killing their leaders. They had no problem killing the monarchy. And, you know, thousands of people were executed. I think if I remember correctly, it was something in the realm of 4,000 different people were executed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he should have realized that at any given moment when people are willing to, like, revolutionize and uprise, like, even the royal family can be executed.
Yeah.
And I think he was maybe a little too prideful to even consider that. So, yeah, I think he probably should have done a little bit more to protect himself and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's also hindsight. You know, I can't judge somebody in that situation. But,
yeah. In one of our resources, it is a picture of soldiers that were sent to shoot at the riots. Nicholas had sent them. They did not listen to him, and they didn't shoot at the riots. Right after this event, Nicholas abdicates his throne.
Another one of our resources was an interview with Yurovsky. He was the man that killed the Romanovs. Now, he didn't do this alone, though. But he was like the brains of this operation. In the interview, he tells the entire story of how he captured them to how he killed them and what he did with the bodies. We asked Dr. Griffin if he believed all the details in Yurovsky's story. This is what he said.
Yeah, I read some of his accounts online after you sent me that question as well. And I do think I believe him. And I think the question I would ask you and then ask others is, like, why would he lie? What would be his reason to lie? Because at the end of the day, he's got to be held responsible for this as the chief executioner. So I don't think there would be a reason for him to mislead his higher-ups, especially if he, you know, let's say he did, hypothetically, let's say he let one or two of the kids survive. Well, he would then have motive to lie, but then he would also be held accountable for that. So that's why I don't think he would lie about that. And I feel like in that situation where there were multiple people involved, it's not like he did it alone. He moved all the bodies by himself. There were other people. So, like, keeping a lie in a group is even harder than keeping a lie to yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of believe him.
As you heard Dr. Griffin say, there would be no point in Yurovsky lying. So why would he lie? And that got us thinking. Would he lie? Yurovsky, one of, if not the most important person in this case. Yurovsky was the chief executioner of the royal family. Lucky for us, Yurovsky left an account behind of what he claims happened in that day. In Yurovsky's account, he claims that everyone was shot in the room where it took place, but that when the firing stopped, it turned out that the daughters, Alexandra, and it seems Demidova, and Alexei too, were alive. He then states Alexei remains sitting petrified. I killed him, he says. He then goes into details about how he shot the daughters, but that did not kill them. Neither did the bayonet, and then finally, to kill them, shot them in the heads. The reason that shooting them did not kill them was because of the jewelry in their clothes, as we mentioned it in the last episode. The bodies were moved several times and went through a lot to try and cover up the murder. A couple of days later, the death of Nicholas Romanov was announced to the world using the elimination of Nicholas to gain political power. The official statement issued by the Soviet government said that the Presidium of the Ural Territorial Soviet decided to shoot Nicholas Romanov, which was done on July 16th. But listen to this. The wife and son of Nicholas Romanov were sent to a safe place. Why would the Soviet government lie and claim that they only killed Nicholas Romanov to cover up the fact that they killed an innocent family members? It makes sense to kill Nicholas, since it wouldn't matter because he wasn't liked by the public and held power. But the rest of the family didn't do any harm, and that makes them look bad.
As Dr. Griffin mentioned in the interview, the findings which were thought to be the missing children ended up not actually being them, and that leaves us with the question of, was Anastasia and Alexei just executed with the rest of their family, or is there really some mystery to solve? If they did do something with the bodies, what would be the motive, though? Why would Yurovsky lie about what happened that day? And what would he have to cover up? Tune in next week to find out what really happened.